Let's go to the UK, where elections are just 2 days away, and the Prime Minister, Conservative David Cameron, is hoping to win a second term.
We are at the moment where all the hard work is finally paying off, and the light is coming up after some long, dark days. Go back now and we'll lose all we've done, falling back into the shadows when we should be striding into the sun.
But Cameron's chief rival, Ed Miliband, says the Labour Party will do more for the average Brit.
I'm ready to put an end to the tired old idea that as long as we look after the rich and powerful, we'll all be okay. I'm ready to put into practice the truth that it's only when working people succeed that Britain succeeds.
So, who's going to win? The BBC's Rob Watson joins us from Leamington Spa in the British Midlands. And Rob, tell us a little bit about the man we just heard there, Ed Miliband.
Well, I guess for an awful lot of people outside Britain and perhaps inside as well, he's best known in the first place for having beaten his own older brother to the job as leader of the Labour Party in what was obviously an incredibly traumatic moment for the Labour Party and for the Miliband family. I guess the other thing that it's important to know about Ed Miliband is that I think he's quite genuinely on the left of centre. So he is not New Labour, he's not Tony Blair. He's someone that thinks that that there is a big problem of inequality in Britain. And the question, of course, in the minds of the voters is, well, yeah, we're all worried about inequality and a gap between rich and poor. But they ask themselves, is he really the man to do anything about it?
And on the other side, David Cameron, also a relatively young guy, but not someone who is a new conservative in the UK. He's a Thatcherite.
I mean, I guess he would describe himself as a modern conservative. Yes, he believes in the same sort of economic outlook as Margaret Thatcher, that you've really got to give business its way because that's how you generate wealth, that's how you can have a strong state. But I think he's also quite touchy-feely on issues that perhaps Mrs. Thatcher would have been very uncomfortable about. So, for example, one of his proud boasts is that under his leadership, there is equal marriage, as they call it in this country. Homosexuals can get married just the same as heterosexuals.
Well, so there you are, and we can hear the cars going by behind you. You're in Leamington Spa in the British Midlands. How are people feeling just a couple of days before this election?
You know, the extraordinary thing about that is that it's almost, it's just extraordinary, the lack of interest and enthusiasm given the potential excitement of the outcome. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's perfectly possible that the Scottish National Party, the pro-independence party, will do incredibly well in Scotland, throwing up all sorts of constitutional issues. And it looks almost certain as though there will be no outright winner overall in Britain. And therefore, we could be on the brink of this extraordinary period of trying to figure out who has won this election and trying to form a government. And yet, that you would have absolutely no idea. It's as if the voters are sleepwalking towards this potential showdown.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's partly that Britain is just a very agreeable, stable, prosperous democracy. And I'm not sure that the voters see things in quite that way. They don't necessarily step back and think, crikey, is this a possible outcome? I think it also reflects, a certain disinterest or a certain lack of trust in the major parties. And I think it represents a sort of a breakdown in what we had here, a two-party system. I mean, as in the United States, where the Democrats and Republicans are fairly broad parties that can include all sorts of people, it used to be like that with the Conservatives and Labour in this country. But that sort of system is sort of breaking down. They find it more difficult, these parties, to attract broad groups of people. And I think that's why we may be heading to such an unusual result.
And you mentioned the Scottish Nationalist Party. This party and perhaps the referendum on Scotland could end up playing the largest role in this election. This is why neither side is going to win outright, most likely.
That's absolutely right. And I guess, again, here is a potential complication. The Scottish National Party may well have an awful lot of MPs at Westminster, but they won't have actually got that many votes. I mean, they may have got maybe 1 million votes. Well, Britain is a country of 45 million eligible voters. So that's why I say that we've got this strange election where there's not much enthusiasm. For example, I see around me no election posters. The voters I've spoken to aren't very interested. And yet, we may be on the brink of something quite extraordinary.
Is there a chance, if one party or the other wins, that, for example, the UK has a greater likelihood of leaving the EU? Are there real issues at stake?
Absolutely. One of the other extraordinary things about this election is not only is there all this potential uncertainty, there is the possibility of a chain of events that leads to Scotland leaving the United Kingdom, but of course David Cameron, the leader of the Conservative Party, has promised that if he was to form the next government, he will hold a referendum on Britain's membership of the European Union before the end of 2017. So absolutely all sorts of things are up in the air. The unity of the United Kingdom, its membership of the European Union. It's difficult to imagine the stakes being any higher and the interest being any lower.
That's the BBC's Rob Watson joining us from Leamington Spa in the British Midlands as the UK prepares for an election this week. Rob, thank you.
Thank you.